As you know, it's been quite a journey here.
Can we have you, Chris, the mic, please? Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's why I wanted a podium. As most of you know, it's been quite a journey. I probably would argue that I've traveled this state more than anybody else in the last decade. And it's been out of a love for Iowa and out of a passion for the issues that I deeply believe in. And the issues that were probably highlighted the most in the 2010 campaign was my deep commitment to marriage being between one man and one woman as a foundation to our society. It was also about the separation of powers, that the executive branch has its role, the legislative branch has their role, and the judicial branch has their role. But we need to make sure that we keep a healthy separation of powers. As all of you know, and I'm reminded probably frequently, that we were not successful on June 8th. Although we took 41% of the vote, 92 plus thousand people who chose to vote for us, we ended up short. After that campaign, we have received a lot of emails, voicemails, text messages, Facebooks, all the new media type stuff of saying, you know, you should launch an independent bid for governor. And I was very clear that the only way I would ever look at running as an independent candidate for governor is if I saw a path to victory. I had no interest in being a spoiler in that campaign. I'd only do it as I thought I could win the governorship as an independent and advance those issues. Well, I'm here today to say that I do not see that path being successful, me being an independent candidate for governor. And so the first announcement today, to answer all of the questions I've been receiving from a lot of people from here in Iowa and across the country about an independent run, I will not run as an independent candidate for governor. However, I will be very, very involved in this fall election and in this fall campaign. And the issues that motivated me a lot when I was a candidate for governor, they still motivate me today. And I would say that our grassroots network and our grassroots support that delivered over 92,000 votes on June 8th, it has not diminished, it has only grown. I'm hearing from people that I've never heard from before of saying we need to take a stand. And so what we are going to do is we are going to take all of our effort, all of our energy, all of our resources, all of our network, and we're going to become crystal clear in our focus on unseating three justices on the November 2 ballot. Because I believe we need to hold a court in check. In 1998, the legislature that makes the law was very clear. The governor that executes the law signed that law, that legislation into law. In the Defense of Marriage Act, that marriage is between one man and one woman. On April 3, 2009, unelected representatives of our state decided to turn that law over. They said that they're going to hold up Iowa's Constitution to an evolving standard. They do not get to evolve our Constitution. Only we, the people, get to evolve our Constitution. When they struck it down, they said Iowa will be a same-sex marriage state. They don't get to create the law. Only the legislature gets to make the law. They said all 99 counties will follow suit. They do not get to execute law. Only the governor gets to execute law. And I believe what we're seeing today, not only right here in the state of Iowa as it relates to marriage, but what we saw what a judge did in California just a few days ago on a constitutional amendment, a vote of the people, of saying, you know, we can't even undo that, is that more than ever, we need to hold this court in check. And that is what our plan is to do. When I leave here today, I will be going into intense strategy sessions with the best and the brightest from around this state and around the country. And we will be unleashing a full effort and campaign in the next coming days. And we will all let you know when that is going to take place. So the impetus of this press conference is, first and foremost, I am not going to be an independent candidate for governor. And second, we are going to turn all of our energy, efforts, resources, and passion at unseating three justices that are up for retention on the November 2nd ballot. With that, I'll take any questions.
What organization is this going to take? Are you going to try to go on with an existing organization, going to create a new one? Structurally, how is it going to work?
We will be releasing all of those mechanics in the next coming days, I believe next week. This press conference is not about endorsing any candidate for public office. If I choose to endorse any candidates for public office, that will come at a later date. This press conference is about non-independent run and about where our focus is going to be.
Did you participate in the campaign against Judge Neary? If so, what did you learn?
I was pretty much a bystander in that campaign. I believe I spoke for just a few minutes at a rally that was held in Sioux City, and that was it. I think the difference between the Judge Neary retention vote, which I believe was 2004, if I'm not mistaken, and this retention vote in 2010, I think the people of Iowa and I think the people across this country are saying the courts are taking too much power. When you have my mom talking to me this morning about what the judge did in California, they're starting to pay attention to what's happening. When amnesty may get decided by a court in Arizona, you know, the whole deal on illegal immigration, I think people are starting to take note. I believe this election to unseat these three justices may be, if not one of the most important campaign and election in the entire country.
Have you lined up support from the Republican Governors Association?
We have had, not the Republican Governors Association, but we do have some initial support that's going to make this a very real effort.
I may be wrong about this, but I think the Polk County District Judge who was involved in this case is also up for election this time. Why not include him?
Okay, let's include him. I'm okay with that.
How much
more? But our focus is going to be on the three Supreme Court justices. So, you know, our campaign will be strictly focused on the three Supreme Court justices.
How much money do you anticipate raising and putting into this effort?
That will be probably determined in the next coming days as well. We'll probably release that as well.
This is sort of unprecedented. Is this going to put the whole independent judiciary concept in Iowa on its ear?
Well, it depends what you mean by independent judiciary concept on its ear. If we're saying that the judiciary can make law because they're independent, then yeah, it should put it on its ear. But I do believe in that way. I believe we also need to be talking about the way we appoint justices in the state of Iowa. I think what we need to be looking at is maybe the governor appointing justices and going through a Senate confirmation, just like they do at the federal level, versus having the Bar Association bring three justices for the governor to pick one. If the governor doesn't pick one, the chief justice picks one. I think that system needs to be relooked at as well. But this effort and this campaign is directly to hold the Supreme Court in check by working on an effort to unseat three justices that decided that they were the legislature, that decided they were the governor, that they decided they were the kingmakers in the state of Iowa. We need to vote them off.
They make thousands of rulings. This one should be the one case that decides all?
I think what it is, Rod, and you heard me say in my campaign, is if they will do this to marriage, every other one of your freedoms is up for grabs. That's why in Arizona, you see illegal immigration maybe be decided by the court. You've seen at the Supreme Court level 5-4 decisions on the Second Amendment right. If a judge in California will reverse a constitutional amendment by the vote of the people, who says they're not going to throw away your Second Amendment or your 10th Amendment or your private property, eminent domain? So even though there may be some people in Iowa that agree with the opinion that this Supreme Court made, there's a lot of other freedoms at risk if you continue to allow them to go down this path. And that's why I believe we can witness success on November 2.
Where did this idea come from?
This idea was probably always in the back of my mind, Kay, even when I was running for governor, that, as you know, I always advocated we need to issue an executive order. I still believe that. I believe it bigger than life today after what happened in California. And I'm hoping the candidates for governor will take a serious relook at the philosophy and the rationale behind an executive order to hold a court in check. After not winning the primary election, we took a look at all different options. Probably the thing that pushed me over the edge was the California judge decision. That this is an issue that not only all in the state of Iowa should be concerned about, but everyone across this country should be concerned about. And I think they are.
How is the Prop 8 ruling, in your opinion, how does it affect the push here in Iowa for a marriage amendment? Does that change your opinion of whether we need to amend the Constitution here?
Well, I still think it would be a good move to let the people of Iowa vote on this issue and to have a constitutional amendment. But I think what it does, it highlights this effort to get rid of three Supreme Court justices that choose to make law, because if they're willing to take a constitutional amendment, a vote of the people, and by the way, the California, if you recall, they voted en masse for our current president, Barack Obama. Those same people who voted for Barack Obama also voted for one man, one woman marriage. And now you have a judge saying, we don't care what you say. We'll overturn that as well. So I think what it'll do is it will attract a lot more enthusiasm, energy, and momentum here in the state of Iowa for this effort that we're talking about.
The fact that this was unanimous leads some people to conclude that this wasn't necessarily rogue judges making a decision, that they all were of a like mind, that they were following the law.
I believe, Rod, and maybe it's the conspiracy theorist in me, I believe the reason it was unanimous was to protect their seats on the court. When they make a ruling of a controversial nature and decision, most of the time you'll see it's a unanimous decision.
Does that mean that the other four, when they come up for retention, also will be targets?
I think they should be. Any other questions?
If the Prop 8 is... Why not Mount Lyon being congressional candidates that are like-minded with you are elected rather than targeted Supreme Court justice? Because after all, we need a federal constitution now.
Well, believe me, I will advocate for congressional candidates who are like-minded with me. I mean, I'll work very hard for them to get elected. But the other part of it is, and this was my whole theory behind the executive order, letting the people of Iowa vote on a marriage amendment, that's one step. But what does that do to hold a court in check? Having a constitutional convention, to me, that's reckless in the first place. But what does that do to hold a court in check? You need to hold a court in check. And the way you hold a court in check is you terminate the people who make decisions that are not theirs to make. Or you have a governor who says, I'm going to issue an executive order that says, you stepped outside of your boundaries, we're going to hold you in check. That's what the balance of powers, that's what the separation of powers was supposed to be about. So to me, this is a big issue and it's a very important issue in this fall election.
Hey, Bob, regarding the...
One other question, is that right?
Regarding the endorsement, again. Well, if you decide not to make an endorsement, will you notify us, will you let people know or not just say anything? Is there a time frame to this at all?
I don't have a time frame on me. What I've told people that have asked me, a lot of my supporters, my network of support, I says you need to not only evaluate the governor's race, but you need to evaluate every race, and you need to vote your principles and your values and your convictions. And that's what I'm continuing to tell them right now. But today's press conference, just to be clear, it's not about an endorsement or non-endorsement or anything else of any other public candidate. It's about I'm not running as independent, and that we are going to be very focused on unseating three judges. And we'll release more of this effort, hopefully next week. Thanks a bunch for coming out.